Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here. Thanks to Tony Knopp and Jeff Tambroni for joining us in the opening hour. Jeff Tambroni, the head coach of the number one ranked Penn State men's lacrosse team, which ran Rutgers out of its own stadium last night in the Big Ten semifinals to get to the championship game. They'll play tomorrow. Penn State is ranked number one in the country. Thanks to Jeff Tambroni for joining us in the opening half hour of the show. Tony Knopp in the previous half hour. This half hour, it's the Kentucky Derby and Dick Girardi with his insight into tomorrow's mile and a quarter run for the Roses at Churchill Downs. We'll talk with him in just a few moments. A couple of quick notes for you. First of all, let's tell you that today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Now the specials through Tuesday. Great specials. Corona, 24-pack bottles, $27.97. Dos Equis, 12-pack bottles, $11.99. Modelo, 24-pack cans, $27.97. Line and Kugel variety, 12-pack cans, $14.95. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Couple of quick notes for you. You mentioned the money approved for Penn State football today by the Board of Trustees to Lash Building, Haluba Hall, practice fields. The upper area, the meeting rooms and so forth, do need renovation. It is now a 20-plus-year-old building, that is Lash Building. It opened in 1999. Now it's 2019. The money for Haluba Hall. Haluba Hall desperately does need this. It's a 33-year-old building now. And the practice fields, believe it or not, the practice fields need leveling out. I know it's certain things are done for drainage, and it used to be worse. I'm not gonna. Someday I'll detail how it was worse. But it used to be a drop at the end of the practice, at the end of the grass field into the artificial field. That now at least has been leveled out over the years. But they still need money for that. So that was approved today by the Board of Trustees. Also, the composite of where is Penn State in the preseason rankings. And, you know, of course, I think preseason rankings, for the most part, are irrelevant, but in May, especially on May the 3rd, it at least gives you a conversation point on a talk show. So here we are. Penn State's consensus is right around 15. And here are the numbers. The Sporting News has Penn State at number 12. Sports Illustrated has Penn State at 14. ESPN at 16. CBS Sports at 20. And USA Today has Penn State at 21. The composite is Penn State at 15. It's interesting because in the top 25 consensus, the Big Ten has six teams. The SEC has six teams. The Pac-12 has four. The Big 12 has three. The ACC has two, Clemson and Syracuse. The Pac-12, by the way, is going to stick with its nine-game conference football schedule. Look, this is about inventory. You know, the Big Ten Network inventory, nine conference games. They can move games to Big Ten Network. You've seen the Big 12 do that, even though they don't have their own network. Theirs is syndicated. And you see the Pac-12 staying at nine. The Pac-12 will also go to 20 conference games in basketball, which has already been done by the Big Ten and will be done by the ACC this season. Again, inventory important. It also makes the strength of schedule theoretically better. All right. Dick Girardi in a few moments, but first of all, our play-by-play call of the day, Joel Embiid puts on a show late in Philly.
They have blown it open. Embiid fakes, Embiid down the lane! It will be a crime if he leaves this game, barring any injury, not being compared the best big man that's ever played this game.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. Award-winning writer Dick Girardi is with us courtesy of ExpressBet.com. Visit ExpressBet.com for a free Kentucky Derby guide and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. DJ, welcome. This is a little different conversation than we've had in recent years. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, it is. I've always kind of like locked in on my horse, and it was pretty confident, and now my horse has been scratched, and I have zero confidence. But other than that...
Well, actually, this goes back to February, because you had locked in on a different horse completely. Look, let's be honest about it. Justify, you locked in very early last year, and you didn't get the odds that the people got at the track. You knew about American Pharoah right away, right? So the same story there. This time you'd locked in on a different horse with Philly roots.
Yeah, Maximus Mischief was my horse. I actually bet him at 75-1 in November. Last year I got Justified 40-1 in February, and that worked out well. But Maximus Mischief got hurt. He's since been retired. So in the weeks leading up to the Derby, as I was watching all the prep races, I just kept seeing this Omaha Beach. I said, man, boy, is he impressive. And then his final work was great. He's been training great at Churchill Downs, and then yesterday he came up with an entrapped epiglottis, which basically was going to prevent him from breathing when he ran, which makes it impossible. So there's a surgery involved, so he obviously will scratch. So we still have 20 horses, but, yeah, my selections keep disappearing.
Yeah, Baffert has horses in the field. Is that always an easy way to go?
Yeah, it's probably the most logical way to go. In fact, I'm not going to pick him. I just ended up writing my selection column. And on the Express Bet guide, I had to change everything on that, too. I'm picking the 7 Maximum Security because he has a very similar running style to Omaha Beach. He's the only undefeated horse in the race. He's won his 4 races by 38 lengths. He's just trained by a guy people don't know on a national scene. This is Jason Service, the brother of John Service, who, of course, trained Smarty Jones to the Derby win 15 years ago. And there's some real unknowns about him. He could have been claimed for $16,000 back in on the 20th of December. So you're thinking, boy, something ain't right here.
Right.
But each race has been super impressive. He's gotten the 2 best speed figures in the race. And I think he'll probably be around 8-1. But having said that, you have to beat 19 other horses, and 3 of them, as you just said, are trained by Baffert. So not only got to win, somehow be first, but beat not 1, not 2, but 3 Baffert horses. That's asking a lot.
It is asking a lot, but you know, it's but in a field like this, I mean, it's 20 horses. I mean, this is such a mess. How difficult is it when you have talked to jockeys? How difficult is it for them to think strategy in a 20 horse field?
Well, I think most of the jockeys want to be on a horse with early speed.
Yes,
and I know I've said this to you before. It's the one thing I've really learned in the era of the 20 horse fields. You'd much prefer to have a horse who's got enough speed to be, say, the top 1, 2, 3 coming out of the first turn, because then it's not a 20 horse field. It's a 2 horse field, a 3 horse field. Like in Justify's case, there was only 1 horse in front of him, so he had the whole field behind him. Similar to American Pharoah, similar to California Chrome, recent solid winners. So I think that's what most of the jockeys would like. But look, some of them, you have a horse that doesn't have that running style. Then you got to, they'll tell me that you got to kind of pick out a path you'd like, and then you got to know the other horses around you. You don't want to get behind a horse that's 100-1 who's all of a sudden going to stop right in front of you. That's not a good situation.
Right.
But it's unique because it's the only race all year in American racing. There are 20 horses, and I've actually said for years, I think they're making a mistake. It should be limited to 14.
Right.
I just think it's unfair. There are horses that don't run as well as they should because they're in all this traffic trouble. But it's a money thing. Churchill Downs makes a lot of extra money from 6 more entry fees, owners, buying seats and everything. And I've always said the only way it'll ever change, if, and hopefully never happens, if there's an accident. Because there's just too darn many horses on the track.
Right. Too many. let's get into, you mentioned getting the ability of early speed. Who do you expect near the front in the first half mile of this to set a pace?
Yeah, if there's a perfect scenario and you're watching this on Saturday and you see maximum security, like out there by himself, you will know there's one person smiling. That would be me.
Yes.
I'd like to see, I think that's his best trip. I think he can win without the lead, but I'd really like to see him in front. I think because Omaha Beach came out, there's probably some riders that are maybe going to adjust the way they were planning to run, but there really isn't a lot of other quality early speed in this race. So I think maximum security for sure. The trainer of War of Will, Mark Cassie, is talking about trying to send his horse, not because he really wants to, but because they have the one-all.
Right.
I'm just not sure that he's fast enough to be in front anyway. But I understand what they're talking about. They just don't want to get trapped down there. But, yeah, I would certainly think maximum security is going to be out there. Beyond that, as you look around through the field, you don't see a lot of ones in each horse's past performances. I think there's a chance Improbable will show more speed than it looks like on paper, even though he's taking blinkers off. Maybe Roadster will be up in the vicinity. But, not a lot of obvious horses. The 21 now, Bodie Express, he hasn't won yet, but that's how he runs. He has early speed, so you would think they'd be trying to get close with him.
Well, you mentioned two of the three Baffert horses there. The other one is Game Winner with Joel Rosario would be on aboard Game Winner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What makes Game Winner a potential factor?
Well, he's never run poorly. He was undefeated last year as a two-year-old, won the Breeders' Cup, was the two-year-old champ. And his two starts this year have been fine. He was second by a nose behind Omaha Beach in the division of the Rebel. Then he was second, beaten only half length by Roadster, his stablemate, the Santa Anita Derby. So, yeah, nothing wrong with Game Winner. My only issue with him more is that he was as fast 6 months ago as he is now.
Right.
I'd like to see horses like getting faster as they get a little older. And he's kind of the same. Probably the horse with the biggest upside of the Bafferts is Roadster. He was the one that Baffert told me last September that he thought he was the next superstar of the group. Then he had a major throat problem. He had an operation. He was off for 6 months, but he's come back and won twice. And the third Baffert, Improbable, it's an interesting story. A really good friend of mine, I used to play the horses with forever when I lived in Maryland, he called me the morning Friday of the Breeders' Cup last year and said, "Watch this horse Improbable today. I just bet him at 125-1 to win the Derby." And he won that day in an undercard race on the 2nd of November really impressively. And then he won again. He won the Low South Futurity. This year he's been second twice, both the races in Arkansas, most recently to Omaha Beach. And he's probably going to be like 5-1.
Right.
And my friend's got 125-1. So he may not win, but he's got the right bet.
Exactly. Horse that's going to be not quite in the center of the track, but maybe slightly off the center, is Code of Honor. And Johnny V's aboard this horse. What do you know about him?
Yeah, now it's a great combination. Johnny V and Shug McGahee. Shug, of course, won his Derby in 2013 with Orb. Johnny's won it twice, Animal Kingdom, and then Always Dreaming a couple of years ago. So a great New York combination. Another horse. I was a huge fan as a two-year-old, and actually he scratched the day of the Breeders' Cup last year. I think he might have beaten Game Winner. In fact, it would have been nice if he had run, and without going into a lot of details, it would have been really nice if he had run and run well. Steve, I don't think he's any better this year than last year. That's kind of, to me, he's kind of like Game Winner. He hasn't really gone forward that much, and that's what you want to see from these three-year-olds. You want to see them. All right, here's what they showed you at two. Now, let's see some more at three. And, again, I'm certainly a contender, but I haven't seen that much more at three.
What about Tacitus, the number eight horse?
Best bred horse in the race by Tappet, who's the top sire in North America. And he's by a horse called Close Hatches, who won five grade one races, which is the biggest races we have in the U.S. So you will not get a better bred horse. The issue I have with him is more running style. Everything went right for him in the Wood Memorial after some early trouble. It just set up perfectly for him. And he's been, say, sixth early, fourth early in his races with smaller fields. he could be like 15th early in the mud on Saturday. So it's just a different scene, and sometimes horses just don't react well to that.
Right. The Kentucky Oaks, of course, will be run on Friday. If you are a casual fan of horse racing, if you're a real fan of horse racing, you love this race. If you're a casual fan, you probably don't know as much about it, but it's exciting. Do you have any read on the Kentucky Oaks?
Yeah, it's funny, Steve, you asked that question, because 3 years ago I had great read. Catherine Sophia was my horse, and she won.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of feel this time, other than I'm going to attempt to beat the favorite for Bellafina. She's only lost once since her first start. That was at the Breeders' Cup, which was at Churchill. I don't know if it was Churchill that beat her or what was going on, but I just don't think she's that good. I think she's okay, but I think she's been beating bad fields. So that's one thing. I lean a little bit to the 10, Champagne Anyone, because my friend, the DRF clocker, Mike Welch,
yeah,
is the one all over her, and Mike is one of the sharpest guys in the game. He's the guy that gets up at 4 in the morning and sees all the horses work. And this time last year, I think we probably talked prior to the Breeders' Cup, I was all over Jaywalk, who was the filly horse owned there. John Service trains, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies by 5 at 5-1. That was a good day, but just hasn't really run like that this year. Although John told me the other day in a text, he said, she is now as good as I can make her. I think what happened was they took her to the farm after the Breeders' Cup last year and kind of lost a lot of muscle tone. Just took a long time to get her all the way back. So they're hoping she's all the way back Saturday or Friday. Excuse me. If she runs like she did in the Breeders' Cup, she'll win. That's absolutely good enough to win the Oaks.
Interesting, dudes. There's so many answers that you've given here, Dick, where, quote, the horse isn't better than where the horse was last fall.
Yep.
In any particular year, which horses in this race actually are better, in your opinion, than where they were last fall? Like, you know,
I think Improbable for sure.
Yep.
Maximum Security doesn't count because he didn't start
until
December 20th. Here's one to look at. The 3, By My Standards, he's my live long shot. He was not much of anything last fall, really up until mid-January. And then the switch turned on in mid-February. Then he won the Louisiana Derby. And no horse has worked better or looked better at Churchill for the last 3 weeks than By My Standards. So that's a horse that's totally turned the corner as a 3-year-old.
Yeah, that's a 20-1. So
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You don't just sit there and go to the window and say, give me this to win. You like to play it. So how do you want to play it?
Yeah, my big exact is going to be a 7-3 Maximum Security over By My Standards. I would have liked it better if it was the 12-3, because I just think Omaha Beach was more likely. I saw no chance that Omaha Beach wasn't going to run well. I think there's a chance Maximum Security won't run well.
Right.
It's just a question of what happens. But so I'll have a 7-3. I also like the 5, Improbable, and the 17, Roadster. Those are two of the Bafferts. So that in some kind of order. But, yeah, let's put it this way, Steve. If it's a 7-3 exact, the first meal on the road next year is on me.
Well, now you know how I'm rooting.
Brooklyn.
Maybe
it'll be Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn. Let me put it. All I know is that for the first time in his life, Daniel Jones, whose wedding you attended at Cape Cod, is going to Churchill Downs.
He's going to be there tomorrow, Saturday.
He's going to be there.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm going back next year. I went 31 years in a row. Then I missed last year. I'm missing this year. I was fine last year. I'm missing a little bit this year. I think I might go back.
I have never gone.
Yeah.
And you know what? Next year might be a time where I think about going for the first time because...
Well, there you go. I might be able to hook you up with the necessary ingredients to get you in the door. Because I know the right people.
You know the right people everywhere.
That's a really good point.
He took, just so everyone knows, he took me around parks. I might as well have been walking around with the guy that owned the place.
I wish I owned the place.
I know you do.
I wouldn't know you if I did. Just kidding.
Sounds like you were hoping. No. Dick, always great. Award-winning writer Dick Girardi has been with us, courtesy of ExpressBet.com. Visit ExpressBet.com for a free Kentucky Derby guide and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. As always, DJ, thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Steve.
Dick Girardi, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Final half hour, Dave Sims on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, and great specials through Tuesday, such as Corona 24-pack bottles, just $27.97. Dos Equis, 12-pack bottles, $11.99. Modelo, 24-pack cans, $27.97. Leinenkugel Variety, 12-pack cans, $14.95. Maybe you love wine coolers. Plenty of those. Water, soft drinks, snacks. Everything for your graduation party is there. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dave Sims in just a few moments. Don't forget, we're going to be at Penn's Tavern on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon, from 3 to 5. 3 to 5 will be at Penn's Tavern. We have an all-star cast on in. Keith Conlon's going to be there. Trey Bauer, Shane Conlon, among others, at Penn's Tavern coming up on Tuesday night as the prelude to the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be on Wednesday. Essentially, the tournament is sold out. Great news, because every dime goes to the great work they do at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So that's coming up on Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We'll be out there. We'll have a great time with that. Most important item in the end is the money that goes to the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we'll have some fun on Tuesday night at Penn's Tavern. We'll be there from 3 to 5. I'm really looking forward to being there and seeing all of you. All right, let's bring in one of the top guys in my business, the person I have great respect for personally, professionally. He's one of the great guys out there. Not only does he do the Seattle Mariners, but also Coach K basketball and beyond on Sirius XM. Long list of credits. Dave Sims, it's been too long. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it, and back at you. I always love hearing touchdown Penn State. And a Philly guy, that means a lot every time I hear it. Don't hear it enough, man.
Yeah, don't hear it enough. And of course, I will. Jack Ham wanted me to pass along my best to you because he always loved Hammer. Working with you.
Oh, I love Jack. He was when I started the very first NFL game I did on radio, November 1994, San Diego at Kansas City, rainy Sunday morning. Get to Arrowhead Stadium. It's 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning for like a 12 kick. And it was 40 degrees and raining, and we could barely find a parking spot. And Hammer was great. I worked a lot with him in the afternoons, and then I was very lucky to work with James Lofton for a lot of time. But boy, I mean, two great Hall of Famers, two wonderful guys.
Yeah. Oh, before I get to the Mariners, I've got to ask you about the show you do on Sirius with Coach K, Basketball and Beyond. What does it take to do that show, and what does it take to work with Mike on that show? Because obviously he's trying to coach a team, but then also do a radio show.
Well, he's really good, and he's very media savvy. And you know, what I do is I tee him up. We have an open segment where we talk about his club, what's going on with his team, and then sort of an overview of sports, what's happening. And he follows a lot of stuff. He's a huge Chicago fan. And there's always plenty to talk about. And then once we get into the guests, if some of your listeners are old enough to remember the old Groucho show, I'd do a George Fetterman. I'd tee him up and get out of the way and let him go because he has such cachet in the world of sports. And we can get anybody. I mean, we've got all the Super Bowl winners, all the World Series winners. A lot of the prominent players. I mean, LeBron, Kobe, Bryce Harper, who's a huge fan, Mike Trout, who's a huge fan. So we get those guys, and we've had a lot of people. We've had a few politicians and a few, CEOs and that kind of stuff. Yeah, because he's Coach K. I mean, he's the winningest coach in the history of the game, and we're able to get, when you get guys on, it's so funny to hear the Nick Sabans of the world. Oh, what a pleasure it is. It's an honor to talk to Coach K, and we get a heck of a lot of that from coaches in the NFL and the NBA. So it's a blast. It really is. We just finished our 14th year earlier this month, and Mike and I go back to late 70s when I was a newspaper guy at the Daily News in New York. And we used to have these weekly basketball luncheons during the season that would turn out to be comedy fest. We'd have Raftery, Jimmy V, P.J. Carlissimo, Tom Penders, Louis Carnesecca. I mean, it was just an all-star cast, and a lot of times I'd come out of there with an empty notebook and a split in my side from laughing so hard. So it was a great way. That's how we met, and we go back 40-plus years.
I have no idea how you got a word in edgewise with that group.
Good times, man, good times.
What's interesting, though, because part of the key to broadcasting, and I've told my broadcasting class at Penn State, whether you're doing a game or especially when you're doing an interview, is you have to be a good listener.
Amen.
For you, when you're in the spot, Dave, and he's got Belichick on. I was listening to the show you did with Bill Belichick, or he has a Saban on. Do you find they open up more to him? Not just because it's Coach K, but because they live parallel lives and sit in the same seat that they do?
Bullseye, right on point, and that's exactly right. And we get stuff on that show that you don't hear other places. They trust Mike, when they talk about culture, team culture, building a culture, they talk about the ins and outs, the highs and the lows. It's talking shop. And who better if you're a coach? And even, as successful as Belichick and Saban are, man, it's great to just sit there and be a fly on the wall and hear these guys talk. I mean, it's stuff that, I would never get. And I think I'm a pretty good interviewer, but it's not fake. Yeah. I wouldn't get that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. I don't think any of us would, because instead of it's on to Cincinnati, Belichick is going to sit there and he's going to say, well, yeah, I can see where you're going with this because I had to do the same thing even though it was football. It's a different dynamic when the person asking the question sits in the same chair.
I mean, no question. And we get stuff. You'll get a couple inside nuggets on how they handle certain situations, how they turned a kid around, how they got rid of a kid or a player. It's unique, to say the least.
I want to get to the Mariners because, you've been doing this now since the mid-2000s in Seattle. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2001, but they got off to a great start, obviously in Japan with what happened with Ichiro. Then when the Red Sox came in, they kept hitting home runs. What's been different about a team in Seattle that said no more Robinson Cano, made other moves along the way, Gene Segura, people like that,
yep,
and yet they're in this position? Why?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I know I said it, and Scott Service has said it a bunch. It's, it's a team of opportunity. You send out all those guys at 189 games with a horrible run differential, but a team that I thought they'd make a couple of moves, fortify and come back and make one more run and blow it up after this year, but they blow it up after the 18 season. So you bring in a whole bunch of guys looking for chances to prove themselves or rebounding. Jay Bruce coming off of plantar fasciitis in his left foot and a bad hip. Encarnacion getting a little bit of, long in the tooth, still something to prove. And I thought those two guys would get flipped almost immediately, and then spring training didn't happen. Turns out they get off to a great start. So right now, holding pattern for both. Then you get younger kids, Tim Beckham, who finished up strong last September in Baltimore after some rocky times in Tampa Bay. Who else? You got a Santana, Domingo Santana, who got forced out in Milwaukee because of Kane and Yelich. There was no room in the end for him. So, I mean, basically, that's what it's been all about. And then, we got some guys in a bullpen, same kind of thing, a bunch of no-names who are trying to establish themselves, and a couple of starters who probably, Felix is at the end or near the end, and a few other guys who are basically fours and fives, and we have to make them ones and twos, but because the club's hitting so well, we're carrying them.
And the club is hitting well. I remember when I guess it's now T-Mobile Park, it was Safeco, when it first opened, I didn't get the impression it was a great home run hitter's park. Yet this team hits home runs. I mean they hit them. Vogelbach has not, 8 so far. I mean, you've got guys left and right. Haniger's got 7 so far. You got, who's got 9 here? Jay Bruce has 9. What is it? Is it this team, or have the dynamics of the park changed?
Trust me, this is my 13th year. You got to have personnel. If you got the personnel, they'll leave the yard. And, Nelson Cruz improved that over the last 4 years, and Robbie Cano. It's all about personnel. I mean, I know Griffey and Jay Buhner all the year. When I got to know those guys, they always said how they liked it when the roof was closed because the ball flew. And Lord knows those guys hit a whole bunch of home runs. But they were that first generation to play in the ballpark, and you don't hear that as much now in my last few years. But you got to have the personnel. They did move. I think they moved the fence. I forget. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, moved the fence in a few feet. But it's all about personnel. And, weather patterns certainly don't change that much up here. And, weather is spectacular in terms of being hot from usually July 1, 2, 3, 4 into maybe Labor Day. And right now, I was just checking my finishing up in the gym here, and I'm looking at 55 and sunny. It'll probably be a wet 50, 53 tonight. So if you're going to, you better hit it hard to get it out. But I don't think it's all about the ballpark. You need personnel. You need the personnel.
I'm going to ask you, because you do have the opportunity, because you're in the American League West, to see, for example, Mike Trout a lot. So you get to see him in person.
Love him to death. Oh,
yeah. When you watch Trout, Because you have a great sense for history, Dave. I mean, that's why you're one of the best. You're one of the great all-around guys in every sport. When you see Trout, what are you looking at?
Well, I look at stuff that guys, when I was coming up as a newspaper guy in New York in the mid-70s, that the old-timers would tell me about, you should have seen Mantle in 52, 53. Yeah, ran like a deer, strong, good arm. And did everything, and that's Trout. I mean, and I grew up a Willie Mays guy, and start putting a guy in the same sentence with Mays and Aaron and Clemente and Mantle. I mean, you got something special. And plus, he's an Eagles fan, so we hit it off immediately. I said, "Dude, I'm from Philly. I hear you're from you're an Eagles fan, and we've had a very good relationship ever since." And I asked, when they were in a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Dude, seriously, the boys were waiting for you in Philly. You and Mark would have been great." And they said, "My wife likes waking up to the sound of the ocean, and so do I." I said, "Damn!" But you're still going to be. He'll still be at the. He'll still. He still has his Eagle tickets. He and Wentz and boys and Ertz and all those cats. But I was, for my brother and all my boys back in Philly, and you guys in Central Pennsylvania who root for the Phillies, I was just fingers crossed. Go home to Philly. But it was interesting. Mark Gubazai's a Philly guy, does their TV, and he said he went to an Eagle game with them, and Mike could barely breathe. I mean, hey, Mike, everybody's pulling at him and tugging at him, and that's not him.
Yeah, no, that's see, that's what's interesting about Trout. He's a great star, but as much as you want to market him, he's not comfortable doing it.
And Steve, I got to tell you, we're getting killed by the NFL. We're getting killed by the NBA. I love Mike to death, but I wish he would do more promotional things. Yeah. And in general, you saw that poll, I guess, last year, year before last, the top, 200, 500 athletes in the world. And the first baseball player that showed up on the list was Jeter at, 124. And, heck, he'd been retired 3-4 years.
Exactly.
We got a problem.
Yeah, no, there is a problem. Now, you're also in a market that right now is the Seahawks and the Seahawks and the Seahawks. All right. But the NBA team's in Oklahoma City. The NHL doesn't start in a couple of years. So where do the Mariners fit in all of this? And is there a concern that if the NBA goes to 32 teams that a Seattle basketball team would pose a big problem?
You know what? We got a hardcore group, and when we win, and the other thing, too, because we got the roof, 81 games are guaranteed. We're destination. You got to remember, we are the team of Alaska. To a slightly lesser extent, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, Montana, and Idaho. Land-wise, it's got to be one of the biggest networks in any sport. So we're going to draw. When the club is playing well, man. I think we were top 10, I think, last year, and top 12 maybe in attendance last year. We can pack it in because people love baseball, but they love it's a good sports town. It's not to the same level, and here's where my I-95 bias is going to come in, but it's not quite the same as the corridor, the Northeast corridor, but it's pretty doggone good. I think the Seahawks have had a lot of run. They've had two Super Bowls. Should have won the second one.
Yeah.
They're big, and like in any NFL town, today is draft night, and that's going to be big.
One last question, then I'll let you go, because I know you've got Texas coming up tonight to start a four-game weekend set. But what has it been like for you where you've been able to settle in? You still do a lot of different sports, but you've been able to settle in, do a baseball team. You've been doing this now for, almost 15 years out there, something like that.
What has
that been like?
Yeah, 13th year.
What's that been like for you to settle in and you've locked in on a team?
It's great. I remember when I got the job, and one of the first guys I called was Gary Cohen, who we go way back with, the Mets announcer, and he said, "Well, you no longer have to helicopter in; you got your own guys." It's true. I mean, I had for years. I had my own league. I had the Big East for a long time, Big East football, basketball. I had the A-10 for a while, but this is a team in a region, and it's terrific. And I've got the best of both worlds. Baseball season, I'm here, and then season's over, I go back. You go back to Manhattan, where I live. And I get the greatest city in the world, and one of the up and coming cities, the fastest growing city probably in the country, Seattle. So it's a good fit. And the other thing too, I take a lot of pride in being I'm one of two African Americans calling Major League Baseball on a full time basis as a lead guy. And I was talking to a couple of guys down at SoCal the other day, and we were going through it, and I realized I'm only something like the fourth African American full time lead play by play guy in the major leagues. Bill White, Greg Gumbel, Paul Olden, and me. Singleton, does mainly analysis, but I carry that as a big responsibility. That's why, if you watch our telecast, you'll see me wear my royal blue Jackie Robinson number 42 cap as a reminder of that, and a reminder to myself that I gotta, keep the straight and narrow and always do the best I can to honor the legacy of Mr. Robinson and Mr. Dobie and all those guys who broke the barrier back in '47. And Bill White, too. I talk to Bill every now and then, and I say, "I pay tribute to you, big fella, every now and then." Guy hits a ball to left, I go, "Deep to left." And that was his ball when Bucky did his home run.
Yeah, I know. You know darn well I'm a Red Sox fan. I remember Bill White called it perfectly.
Deep to left. Lestretsky will not get it. I'm a home run for Bucky Bent. Bucky F. Bent in your world.
Yeah. In our world. Well, I'll give you one great story. You probably know it because you mentioned Domingo Santana, for example. In the summer, I do 45, 50 of the State College Spikes games here. They're the affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I have a blast with it. I love it. And so I called, for example, Domingo Santana's first professional home run because he was playing at Williamsport in the Phillies organization at the time. Well, Staten Island. I'm trying to think. It must have been Staten Island, the Yankees affiliates playing Lowell, the Red Sox affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
The Lowell pitchers combined to retire the first 26 batters. Guess who broke up the perfect game? Bucky Dent's kid.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's unbelievable. Holy Toledo, that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Whether that is really amazing, Steve. Holy crap.
I mean, can you imagine that? It's unbelievable. When they told me that, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. of all the people.
That's unreal. Hey, the last time I saw you and Dickie Girardi was at the Garden at NIT, a preseason NIT, about, what, 3-4 years ago, maybe five?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been that long, and I'd seen you in Tucson. It was great to
Tucson
hear
at the NCAA.
Going out in Tucson, the NCAA tournament. Yeah, that was great, man.
Yeah. You are, I realize that it's important for you to carry the banner of 42. I got it. But you know what? You're an example to anybody who broadcasts. And I was telling my class about you the other day because I knew I was going to have you on. That look, you've got to be able to listen to certain guys that are a pro's pro. You are absolutely one of them. So,
well, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Hey, have a great one.
Hopefully, we'll touch base soon. Next year, and hopefully, I can catch you there. Oh. Maybe catch you in Pittsburgh. We go to Pittsburgh this year.
Oh, you go to Pittsburgh this year? That's awesome. I'll try and work my way down there for that. That'll be great.
In September, it's like a Tuesday, Wednesday, like the 16th, 17th, 17th, 18th, something like that. Okay. Check it on the schedule.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Got it circled.
I would love to catch up. Hey, thanks for the time, man.
The great Dave Sims. Great to have him on the show. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. Big weekend coming up. Should be enjoyable. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Back here in the Sunbury Motors studio on Monday, Tuesday at Penn's Tavern with an all-star cast joining us from 3 to 5. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.